There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Happy to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Wendy Nix with Josina Anderson, Victor Cruz, and Rob Ninkovich. We start with news, actually in this case, from the national championship game, but involving the NFL as well. LSU alum Odell Beckham Jr. was there and on the field, but in the news for the wrong reasons. Here he is, according to NOLA.com, an arrest warrant has been issued for Odell Beckham Jr. He was videoed, as you can see here, hitting a police officer on the backside after his team's win over Clemson. Now, the Browns have released a statement saying we are aware of the incident and have been in touch with Odell and his representatives on the matter. They are cooperating with the proper authorities to appropriately address the situation. This was actually the second incident. Beckham was also seen handing out money to LSU players after Monday night's win. The money he distributed on the field was real. Tigers quarterback Joe Burrow told Barstool Sports, pardon my take, LSU's athletic department issued a statement Wednesday saying it was aware of the video showing apparent cash given to the players and that it has been in contact with the NCAA and the SEC because there's all the compliance matters. My goodness. Listen, let's start with what happened today, and that is the arrest warrant. And I use that term lightly, even though I understand that's what it is, for what appears to be a relatively innocuous incident.
Yeah, the only word that comes to my mind is unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we're dealing with this during a time where LSU should be being celebrated, a time where they played a tremendous football game and won a championship, and that's what we should be talking about. That's what the world should be talking about, not an incident where, you know, Odell's in the locker room and the cop obviously gets upset afterwards of what Odell does to him and decides after the fact, after this video airs and it's broadcasted to the masses and everyone sees it, after the fact, he wants to obviously reciprocate and come back and file charges and claim. So it's just unfortunate that this is, you could say that it's clouding, you know, the game and the championship and what a great game it was.
It's also a situation, Josina, and I heard Ryan Smith, our legal analyst, say, look, by the letter of the law, there is an issue here if the person who's on the other end of it so chooses to make it one, which apparently that's the case. But, you know, for Cleveland and a new head coach and a team looking for a GM, it's one more thing. And now Odell Beckham Jr. and his camp have to also manage this. It's a misdemeanor, but nonetheless, it has to be managed.
Well, my understanding is that Odell Beckham Jr.'s legal team is looking into, you know, the various incidents that succeeded the LSU championship game. So that's first and foremost. I think secondly, there's two components here with this. There's a fact-finding process to this in terms of trying to figure out, who money was given to, how many, and where those individuals' eligibility stands with LSU.
And that's separate from this.
And that is also, separate from this other incident that just came out with regards to arrest warrant being given out with this cop wanting to assert that he was touched in a way that he feels like was, against the law or inappropriate. So you have the fact-finding process, and then you're also dealing with the optics of it, and what we think about the optics of it. And then the third component is, you know, how serious should this be taken? So you got get the facts. What does this look like? And then how serious should we take this? To me, those are the relevant questions surrounding this incident right now.
I think that's fair. It's a fair and reasonable approach. Rob?
I mean, come on. The thing that gets me going is, like, filed charges? Come on. I mean, look, if you're the security guy for the stadium, okay, there's rules that need to be followed. I understand that. But you have college kids that had just finished a national championship victory. They're in the locker room celebrating together. I've been a part of championship teams. I've been a part of a junior college championship team, and that's when everyone was in college. And after you win that game, everyone is pumped up. They're having fun. So you enter the locker room. You're trying to do your job. I understand that. And Odell Beckham gives him the little slap there. It wasn't like it was a violent slap. You could even tell afterwards that he was maybe trying to defuse a situation for the cop trying to do whatever he was doing. I don't know what the ins and outs of what was happening. But maybe it could have been after the fact. Maybe he went back to work and everyone's like, ha-ha, like you got slapped in the butt by OBJ. And he's like, who was that? Oh, okay, let me file this. You know, sure. So it's just, it seems a little ticky-tack, a little silly that he would file that for what it was. Because it wasn't violent. It wasn't malicious. It was malicious. He was in a locker room with guys celebrating that they had just won a national championship. And now he has to deal with this, which I think it's silly.
I think the word that you're looking for that encapsulates is discretion. You know, use your discretion to make a determination. Does this rise to the level to make this type of case? Because you also know involved in this is the name of someone who's such a big star.
Exactly.
Where it's going to
magnify.
It's going to get magnified even beyond that. And as I'm sitting here listening to you, it reminds me of the incident I believe it was last year when the Toronto Raptors general manager, after the championship game, Masai Ujiri was trying to come down onto the court. Mm-hmm. He got into it with another cop, you know, was trying to look at his credential. Eventually, at some point during that incident, the cop learned who he was, and still it proceeded to escalate. So what I'm saying is how these two things are analogous is you have a moment in time to make a decision. Yeah. How big do you want this to be, and is it really necessary? Clearly, Masai was trying to come on to celebrate with his team. At the same token, Odell, you know, is trying to celebrate with his team. There's nothing that's criminal that's gone on. Odell has not ever been arrested, you know, and not that you're going to know his whole history in the moment of time, but I'm just saying you have all this context to consider, and it was after the fact. It's not like this is the night of where 10 minutes after this incident happened, you decided, oh, I'm going to file a charge, right? After the fact, you have now had time for the sand to settle, and then after that decided, yes, I want to.
A few text messages to him, making fun, and he was a little bit more upset about it.
And it gets back to what I was talking about with regards to the optics. So are you reacting to the initial act, or are you reacting to the optics of it?
Even the initial act, he wasn't irate and being like, did that? It was just like, he just turned around.
Well, listen, here's the thing. And by the way, I completely agree, but welcome to the Browns, Kevin Stefanski. Nevertheless,
it's that ring.
48 hours in.
Congratulations,
Coach. Here we go.
Already issuing your first statement with the team.
48 hours? 24?
Yes.
All right. The good news is we're going to talk about football. We are 3 days away from Championship Sunday. On the AFC side, the Chiefs will try to reach the Super Bowl for the first time since 1969 when they host the Titans. And the NFC title game pits the Packers and 49ers in the playoffs for the eighth time. The 49ers knocked Green Bay out of the postseason in both 2012 and 2013. It will be the second time these two teams have faced off this season, and the Packers would be more than happy to forget the first time. One of the more lopsided losses, by the way, of Aaron Rodgers' career. He was asked about seeing them again after struggling back in week 12.
We had that one really good touchdown drive. It's just, you know, I think you realize playing against them how good they are. And at the time, you know, they had a two-game lead after that game, plus obviously the tiebreaker. So just calculating things in my head, I figured, you know, if we got to the playoffs and made a run, we'd probably have to beat them in their place at some point. And sure enough, we're back in a situation where we got to do it to get to the Super Bowl.
I realize you're obviously focused on their defense, but as a fellow quarterback, when you watch Aaron Rodgers play, what makes you go, whoa? What's impressive to another quarterback about the way he plays?
There's a lot. Aaron, just the way he processes information quickly, the way he could scramble and make throws on the run, he really does it. He has a little bit of everything. And, I mean, just watching his film, I love watching it to, you know, prepare and also to learn from him and, you know, see things that he does. And it's just it's impressive, man. I mean, he does it at such a high level for such a long time now. It's just, you know, you got to tip your hat to him.
The playoff experience is pretty one-sided among the four remaining quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers has 17 starts and 10 wins in his postseason career. That's twice as many wins as the other three QBs combined. When Rodgers won the Super Bowl in 2010, Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo were both still in college. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, he was a senior in high school. Look, the pressure is on. That's the way it is in the postseason. You know, we can say who's under more pressure. Now, but maybe I'd phrase it like this. Who has more to prove in this instance, Aaron Rodgers or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, when you phrase it like that, I mean, that's a different phrasing.
When you phrase it like that,
I mean,
Wendy.
It's Jimmy G. But when I think about just in terms of pressure, just going back to natural pressure, I think it's Aaron Rodgers. Because if you go to a lot of these football circles, you think about Aaron Rodgers is being called one of the best quarterbacks. It's just sheer talent, arm strength, accuracy,
you know, being able to scramble, throw the ball 50 yards down the field accurately. Like, he's the guy, right? He's the guy that everybody talks about when you think about those best quarterbacks. And when you think about them, you think about Tom Brady. You think about, you know, all those heralded guys. And Tom Brady has, what, 6 championships? Obviously, we know that.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers only has 1. So to be called one of the best, or if not the best quarterback, you want to have more than 1 Super Bowl under your belt. You want to have the accolades that match the talent level, at least to the level that you feel like you deserve. And I think in terms of just pressure, Aaron Rodgers has the most pressure on him. It's been 9 years since he's been back in the Super Bowl. And I think he obviously sees the window closing with each and every year to make it back to the Super Bowl. And I think in terms of just sheer pressure, it's all on Aaron Rodgers right now.
What's interesting to me is that those 9 years, right? What perspective you must have. You get to 1 Super Bowl, you win it, you think, oh, okay, you know, I'll be back, or this will happen again. And it does, at least the opportunity. But 9 years later, JoJo, and I don't know that you always think of that as a younger player.
Well, for me, it actually splits. I feel like there's more pressure on Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, but I feel like as far as the team, there's more pressure on the 49ers team, because I feel like the way that the Packers played, the way they played against the Seahawks, that was really the first time I felt like it really came together all like that when everybody was watching. Whereas like the San Francisco 49ers throughout the whole season, I feel like the expectations, even though their records are very good, you know, between the two of the teams, but I feel like all together we have more expectations of the San Francisco, or we have had prior even to the divisional round and the way that the Packers played against the Seahawks. I remember when I covered the game when the Packers played the Bears and they were going into that game, Aaron Rodgers was saying, what we're trying to get out of this game is to be more consistent. And then even after, I believe they won that game by like 1 point or something like that, everyone in the locker room, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers was saying, eh, you know, I don't really feel like we really still accomplished where we had all 4 quarters come together. And I feel like in this game, they looked like they were more exerting their will, and Devontae Adams just, you know, couldn't be stopped. Now that team is like, it's a little bit more on par what I feel like I've seen from the 49ers more consistently throughout the year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I mean, you look at time, right? And when you play in the NFL, you realize every single year is so valuable. So that's why Rodgers, I think he's mentioned it a few times. He's like, look, I don't know how much time we have left. I don't know how much time I have left. I got to capitalize on the things that I'm doing right now because of the fact he knows, he understands. I mean, if you ask Drew Brees, like, hey, 10 years later, you're never going to be able to get back to the Super, you think he'd be like, oh, yeah, that's going to happen. No. You know, so you realize how important each game is in the playoffs, because it's a 1-game season. If you lose this game, it's over. You got to restart. And, you know, Rodgers had to go through a coaching change and adjust to a new coach. So, I mean, he said it, his age, he's getting up there in age, no spring chicken. Expectations, because it's Aaron Rodgers, like you said, you expect him to be great. And then he's even said during the season, like, I don't have many weapons. You know, we only got 1 receiver. So he's had to do a lot of things with his talent this season, and it hasn't been necessarily what we've seen in the past with Rodgers as far as, you know, throwing the ball every down. It's kind of been a different offensive approach this year with the new coaching change, and they're going to have to play 4 quarters and come together as a team if they want to win this game, because the 49ers across the board, offense, defensively, are stacked.
It's interesting you talk about the new head coach. He's the only new head coach from last year or this season that has a winning record, and here he is playing for an NFC Championship game.
Can I just say real quick that Aaron Rodgers is still letting you know that he has that edge on his shoulder, because after the game, he made sure he lets you know that not even the media necessarily thought we were going to beat this. Mm-hmm. Not even the fans. So he's still letting you know.
He will, even if they win it all. He'll do the same thing.
Are you picking him against the Niners, though?
No.
Ooh. Oh,
hold that thought. We'll ask you two about playing against him on the field. But, JoJo, you've also gotten to know him. You've sat down with him a number of times. What's your takeaway from Richard Sherman away from the field?
Very substantive. One of my favorite people to talk to in the NFL, because he's smart, intelligent, very involved in things that are also, as we can see with Ryan Clark's piece, which was done very well, outside of football, too. And that's what you care about when you, you know, especially as media people, commentators, you know, when we're talking to people in the league, that's what we enjoy, right? People who are very well-rounded and not just skilled and elite, as he picks off that pass right there in the divisional round there. But also, you know, that care about things that are greater than just the game as well. So every time I talk to him, like, I was just having this conversation because, you know, the 49ers is a team that I'm covering in the conference championship. We were discussing whether we were going to do another piece with them or not. And I was just saying, listen, you don't need a fancy background when it comes to Richard Sherman or like, you know, when you're doing the access, because his what he's saying is the access, because it's so great. You don't need anything else. And so that's what I always take from him, always learn. And I appreciate his role as an executive committee member with the NFLPA and the things that he's also looking to try to do in terms of helping the game as they move forward with the upcoming expiration of the CBA that we're all expecting to.
Which is coming soon. You played against him really back in the Seattle heyday. Mm-hmm. How does he compare? How does the Richard Sherman today compare to the Richard Sherman then?
I think it's still the same. I think it's still close to the same. Obviously, he's a little older now and not the same sprightly 25, 24-year-old he was when he and I were going up against each other. But I still think he still has the ability to, you know, defend at a high level, as you can see. I think his leadership qualities allow him to continue to be great, and people respect him and trust him with his abilities out there on the football field. And the biggest thing is his smarts. He understands. He's seen every route combination in the book. He's seen every coverage. He knows every receiver's tendencies. He does his homework on his opposition. Now, will he be the guy that's going to shadow a specific receiver week in and week out? Probably not. Not at this point. But he's smart enough to understand when to jump a route, when to sit back, when to break up a pass. And making big plays in timely situations has always been one of his knacks, and he's still doing it to this day.
I still think you better know where he is. You better keep an eye on him at all times. How does he stack up against this Packers receiving core?
Look, I mean, he's one of the best defenders in the NFL right now, and he's 31 years old. So when you talk about smarts and intelligence, your on-field intelligence, as you get older and your quickness and maybe a little bit of your top speed starts to decline, when you're able to go on the field and you're the leader and you understand situations and routes, he understands every route concept. So when you are in that position like Sherman is right now, he is the leader on that defense. When he was out for a couple weeks, you saw how that team responded to him coming back. I think that's what the 49ers wanted when they went out and they got him. They needed a veteran who could come in and help lead that defense, help lead that unit. So you look at what they have up front. They have a great defensive line. They're able to get after the quarterback. And when you pair that with a secondary with Sherman, I think that that's what sets them apart from these other teams in the NFC. Right now, that's why they're my pick to go to the Super Bowl, because of the fact that they have him in the secondary, and they have Bosa, they have Ford, they have all these guys that get after the quarterback.
Oh, you making picks now.
Oh. That's foreshadowing.
But listen, we still love the early iteration of Richard Sherman from when
Legion of Boom did.
Not only Legion of Boom, but I was sitting beside an ESPN producer once upon a time when he was playing the Patriots, and there was some cornerback who had said, "You mad, bro," to Tom Brady. And it was like, who is this? And now it's just like, man,
Everybody knows his name at this point. Now, they're your pick, you say, to go to Miami. Standing in the way, Aaron Rodgers. He'd like to have something to say about that. He delivered a vintage performance in the Packers' wild card win over the Seahawks. He threw two touchdowns to Devontae Adams, converted a pair of third downs to seal it on the final drive. Packers quarterback, a guest earlier on the Dan Levitard Show this week.
Are you ducking Richard Sherman, Aaron Rodgers?
I'm definitely going to shake his hand pregame. Show him the respect, mutual respect. It's going to be, you know, all love and respect.
But are you throwing anywhere over there?
Oh, I don't know. It depends on who's open.
I want you to be in Miami, but what they did to you last time, Aaron, I've never seen Aaron Rodgers look the way that it looked against San Francisco before.
Well, talk to my man Jericho and ask him, have you ever been in a match where everything went wrong and then time elapsed, weeks, months, years later, he came back with the same matchup and things were different?
Oh, and time has elapsed as we say hello to Rob Domofsky from Green Bay. Rob, what is the Packers' offensive game plan this time around against Sherman and that 49ers defense?
Yeah, Wendy, well, it will have to be different. Think about this. In that game in November, Aaron Rodgers threw the ball deep down the field, defined as 10 yards or more, 8 times. He completed Zero. He's never done that where he's had that many attempts. Matt LaFleur started the week by telling us that he not only has to figure out what happened, but why it happened in that game. So fast forward to this week, Davante Adams said that they have come up with a plan that is a way better way to attack the 49ers defense. And you can bet that Adams will be a big part of it. But the guy that you guys have spent a lot of time talking about, Richard Sherman, he'll have to deal with him.
He's a talented player. You know, in my opinion, never lost it. I mean, there was never a time where you're playing him where you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go after this guy. You know, they always think you have to be smart about what routes you like to throw on him and understand that you know, he's one of the headiest players that has ever played that position. So you got to be, you know, real smart about the types of routes you're liking on that side of the field.
He's definitely a great player. And, you know, people have said a lot about whether he's fell off or whatever. And, you know, I don't see that. The way I attack it is just like every other guy. I don't try to change anything because you got a little bit more talent than the next guy. I just try to play my game and, you know, make you play my game. And then, you know, hopefully that changes the way you go about your business.
The Packers are on the practice field right now. And I just came from across the street where they're working out. And if you can see the roster, taking attendance, every number is checked off as far as participation. They had all of their guys on the field, Wendy. That includes Brian Bulaga, the right tackle, who missed Sunday's game against the Seahawks with an illness. That includes receiver Geronimo Allison, who was out sick yesterday. And it includes receiver Alan Lazard, who came out of Sunday's game against the Seahawks with an ankle injury. So Aaron Rodgers should have everyone at his disposal for Sunday against the 49ers, Wendy.
All positive news, Rob, for the Green Bay Packers. Thank you. Jason Garrett may just stick around the NFC East. After all, the Giants interviewing the former Cowboys coach for their offensive coordinator opening, according to ESPN's Jordan Renan. Garrett's contract with the Cowboys officially expired on Tuesday, and that is what we will do to kick off Cup of Joe. Josina Anderson with the bigger storylines, I should say, around the league. Let's start with Jason Garrett and the possibility of ending up with the New York Giants.
Well, I had an opportunity just a couple hours ago to speak to Giants wide receiver Golden Tate, who at the time was playing daddy daycare to his daughters in the background. And I wanted actual overall reaction to Jason Garrett and the possibility that he will be the offensive coordinator for the Giants, and even just overall reaction to Joe Judge becoming the head coach. And that's where I'll start. First and foremost, he said, listen, right after his press conference and this being the head coach, he said that I wanted to just end the offseason right now and felt like I wanted to just go and fix the problems of last season. He said that when he spoke to Joe Judge, he told him, listen, if you want to find me and come chat with me, I'm going to be buried under a whole bunch of work for the next 2 weeks, and so just come look for me under a pile of papers. But he said with Joe Judge, he's expecting that the practices are going to be more intense, that they're going to require more drill repetition, and that he's also expecting a culture change simply because he has a familiarity with having played with a former Patriots coach and Matt Patricia with the Lions. And he said that those practices were tougher, a little bit longer, less rest in between the drill. So that's what he's expecting with Joe Judge just coming from that tree. And then I also asked him, you know, what is it that you think of Jason Garrett? And he said, listen, I don't really know him. I've played against Jason a couple times in my career. But what he said I do know is that coming up this season that I want to be more involved in the offense in addition to everything else that we may possibly be doing with whoever is the offensive coordinator.
All right. They got to fill that at some point. And other coaching news, we do have a statement from the Fritz Pollard Alliance. Their reaction, JoJo, to the lack of minority hires. I'll read it. We are in a battle for social justice. The current system of hiring and promoting talent into the upper levels of NFL management is a flawed system. We cannot expect fairness if business remains status quo. Our focus must shift from counting emblematic victories each year to calling for measurable initiatives that support sustainable progress. It does beg the question, what's next then for this process and the Rooney Rule?
Well, first I talked to the executive director of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, that being Rod Graves, and what he told me last night is that they are organizing a town hall that will be held at the Senior Bowl on Tuesday, 10 a.m. Central time, that will involve the community of coaches that are minority in the league and executives or what have you, so that they all can weigh in with their concerns and thoughts as to how this should move forward so that they can fix what Mr. Graves was basically alluding to is a broken system. The additional thing that he also told me just within the last last couple hours is that he thinks that the Rooney Rule, and this is what they're going to be seeking as they move forward past this town hall and going into next season, that it should apply to more now than just the head coach and the general manager. And we want it to require that more than one diverse candidate be interviewed for those vacancies as well. They feel like the league needs to show more of a commitment to matters that involve diversity and inclusion. And they do feel like, they want to make a good game better. But at the same time, there has to be acknowledgement, per his words, that the NFL has a good old boy system that is just benefiting a few. And they want it to be more based on merit and results.
All right, fair enough. Next step, the summit, then at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. New on NFL Live from our Adam Schefter, agent Drew Rosenhaus has conditionally terminated his relationship with Antonio Brown today until the free agent wide receiver seeks counsel, according to an NFLPA source. Rosenhaus wrote in the letter that the NFLPA received today that he would like to work with Brown, but not until he first seeks help. In addition, attorney Darren Heitner has removed himself as counsel for Brown per an order granting motion to withdraw in Miami-Dade. The court allowed Heitner to withdraw as counsel on the landlord-tenant case that he handled up until this week. The hits just keep on coming. Clearly a person, a family in crisis. Football is on the list, long list of things that are concerning. Victor, JoJo, sort of what you expected at this point as the natural progression took place?
Well, quite honestly, I don't think Antonio Brown sees these developments that we are reporting right now as hits. I just don't think that he thinks those are hits. So let's just have the conversation and be real with that. I mean, I think that has kind of been ongoing, and this is just the culmination of an official statement with that. Secondly, I'll say something that I feel like I've been saying on Antonio Brown, whether it's on NFL Live, First Take, or what have you. I think that what we are seeing going on with Antonio Brown is just related to other things that are deeper than football, that are playing themselves out and how he is acting out now. And regardless of what it is that you feel that Antonio Brown has done, and clearly has done things that we have seen on Instagram that have been disturbing to if you're a female, if you're a male watching, if you're, a kid watching or what have you, all of those things have, some of them have been, tough to watch. But I continue to root that in things that I feel like go even beyond what's going on with the NFL, and there's a larger discussion to be had. So when people have statements and have comments about, let's make sure this person gets help, Marshawn Lynch talks about, make sure you take care of your mentals and all this other stuff, we can kind of say it, cavalier, or we can really think about what that really means. And I think that all of that now, for me, applies to him. But anybody has to be in a space mentally, spiritually, emotionally, where they are ready to receive that. And and at this point, I feel like even to him, I feel like even to the league, football is secondary right now. And
no question.
Until all of that other stuff is, but I do believe that he doesn't see it that way right now.
He doesn't see that football is secondary, or
no? I just don't feel like we're having a breaking news or whatever. Rosenhaus says this, or his attorney says that.
He doesn't see that.
He stopped talking to everybody a long time ago.
Drew just put the letter in recently, so we can all know that legally he's detaching himself.
Right. And I would agree with Josina, whether he thinks so or not. Football is secondary, if not tertiary. I mean, on down the list of things that need to be addressed.
Yeah, and just as a player, I'm worried about him. I'm just worried about his well-being, his overall mental health, and the things that he's doing just aren't helping his cause as a human being, let alone an athlete, a football player, and everything else.
All right. There's also this story this afternoon. LSU alum, of course, he was excited when his team won the national championship on Monday night, but now there is an arrest warrant that has been issued for Odell Beckham Jr., and it's for this reason. He's videotaped here, as you can see, hitting a police officer on the backside after the Tigers win over Clemson. The charges filed today, then the statement from the Cleveland Browns: we are aware of the incident and have been in touch with Odell and his representatives on the matter. They are cooperating with the proper authorities to appropriately address the situation. This is after Beckham was also in the news because he was seen handing out money to LSU players after the game. Joe Burrow said that was real money, and it becomes an issue because of compliance issues with the NCAA and the SEC. The school says they're in touch.
Potentially.
Yes, but there are questions. There are compliance questions. And so that has been, they are looking into that. as well. Having said all of that, I think in this case, in terms of the arrest warrant, we talked about this earlier. We feel like, I mean, it is what it is. But
I mean, I think it's ticky tack.
It's a little bit. Yeah,
you should never be able to touch another person if they don't want you to touch them. I get that. But in the moment, in a locker room with guys celebrating a national championship victory, guys are going to be having a good time, smoking cigars inside. I mean,
and you're also in their space,
you're in their environment,
in their locker room.
And you're supposed to, I get it.
Everyone ran on their parade, too. Like, let them enjoy themselves.
Guys are going to be having fun. They've been working for months upon months upon months.
Of course.
Years. And in a football locker room as a team, when you're in the locker room, you almost feel kind of like it's your own space. I know you're in a stadium, but you do things in the locker room and you have fun with guys and, you know, whatever they were doing, playing cards, if they had something that they were sipping on, okay. Like, they just won a national championship. If you're going to go arrest people or you're going to do something like that, I see how Odell Beckham was messing around. He looked like he was having a good time as well. Don't get me wrong. He was having fun during that game.
Absolutely.
So maybe that had some influence on the things that he did after the game and then in the locker room.
Why are they even in the locker room? Why are the cops even
to make sure some random
fan doesn't get in? You mean security just like that? So be outside, so be at the...
Patrol the door.
No, patrol the door. Why are you even in the locker room? It's not even your
cell. Right. I agree with
you. You're also in their space.
You didn't have a problem when the incident occurred.
Yeah, he turned around.
You didn't have a problem with it then. You didn't seem like you were angered. You just turned around like, who was that? And you had a conversation and that was it.
Figured out probably who it was.
I do think this is the case, too. And, JoJo, you made this point earlier. You know, it's lightning rod because it's Odell Beckham Jr. And these are the times when you feel like, okay, this is what he has to contend with because this is not a headline if that's not who it is. And this is, and I don't even know, to be quite candid, if charges are filed if it's not who he is.
Well, and not only that, but just the coupling of how we just, you know, talked about the Antonio Brown situation.
Right.
And then put the Odell Beckham on the back of that. Because if you think about the allegations surrounding Antonio Brown, obviously, he has issued strong denials, but the allegations exist that surrounds sexual assault. What we are talking about here is Odell handing out some cash, you know, to some players.
Having a good time.
Having a good time.
After his alma mater won a national championship.
Right. So let's make sure. I mean, I understand there's an arrest warrant issued, and we're not. Minimizing that aspect of it. But when you're talking about the acts in and of himself and, you know, maybe conflating the two, I think that that's a little bit
I think that's fair. You can't just go legal issue to legal issue. I mean these
plainly,
are two
simple,
different things.
Simple assault.
This ain't that.
This is very simple.
This ain't that.
It's very simple.
And even
that's your official statement.
Since everyone's releasing statements today, the official statement is...
What are the quotes?
This ain't that.
Victor Cruz, NFL Live. All right, fair enough. JoJo, you signed it. You're co-signing on that.
I'm co-signing on that. Okay,
All right, listen. Fair enough. New on NFL Live this afternoon from our Packers reporter, Rob Demoski. Matt LaFleur didn't hold practice in pads because for us to be at our best, we need to be fresh for Sunday. He said it's just as important to be mentally sharp, noting they had the lowest total of mental errors all season last week against Seattle. Interesting, every coach does it differently, but you can certainly understand at this point in the season trying to keep those legs fresh when everybody's tired. All right, it's a big weekend. The one player or one coach you take heading into conference championship.
You could do a big start. You just want to have the little martini at the end.
You want me first?
I'll go first.
I'm going to say Kyle Shanahan. I'm going to say Kyle Shanahan because after what he showed in that last game, I mean, you have to attach hashtag guru at this point because he is so smart with his play calling.
I'm going Pat Mahomes. I mean, the guy's he's dynamic. Get out of the pocket, throws on the run, really good, awesome. Pat.
I'm going to take a step forward because I love this low angle.
I know. I don't know what this is.
No, I love it. I take it. I'm going Derrick Henry. He's a truck. He's a load. He's fast. Good luck bringing him down.
Why are you posing to the camera?
Listen, great minds think alike. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, but I just, Patrick Mahomes with all those weapons and Andy Reid and all that's on the line, I'll take my boy Mahomes. See what happens.
Mahomes.
All right.
Like
that's
it.
Why they play, though. Have a great day,
go
everybody.
To Rachel
the
Nichols.
Jump is next.
Go to Rachel.